So I'm meeting Borut Pahor, the former president and prime minister of Slovenia. So president, you are an expert on the Western Balkans, apparently. And how would you evaluate the current situation with regards to the different candidates joining the EU?
We are facing some sort of a change in behavior on both sides, on EU sides and on the sides of the region. On EU sides, after the aggression of Russia to Ukraine, there is much more political willing to enlarge to the Western Balkans than before. But on the other side, interestingly, there is some sort of a low level of confidence that this time would go for real. So in last 20 years, I should say this, to be frank with you, EU has lost a lot of credibility. You can feel it talking to the people, not just talking to the officials and prime ministers and presidents. If you would take a look at the surveys around the countries there, basically, maybe now in Bosnia is a little bit better because of newer arrangements. But you know, the average support is less than 50%, which is huge change, and we should take it for as serious as it is. Number two, I would say the political situation is less good as it used to be. A low level of confidence among nations and among leaders in the region. There is a low level of hope for the future, particularly when we are speaking about the European perspective. Maybe, as I said, now Bosnia is a little bit different because of the newly development. EU has gone there, started the negotiation finally, and this has brought to the country a new wave of optimism. But if we would talk about Serbia, Kosovo, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Albania, there are a lot of disappointment there. So basically for EU, the job is crystal clear. We should go there immediately with all our arrangements to inspire governments to reform that in less than 10 years will be ready to enter the EU. Last thing to say, because of this gap in the confidence between EU and the region, I think would be nice if EU would officially repeat what Council President said last year at the Bled Strategic Forum. Michel said, and I quote, EU will be ready for enlargement in 2030. Now, this should be made publicly, officially, by 27 countries on the side of EU. On the side of the countries in the region should be said the same. We will be ready to enlarge in 2030. So speaking to a lot of colleagues down there, also to some colleagues in EU, I think this could be done if somebody would really push it. So if the new commission president, new or old one, if the new council president, if the majority, at least countries among 27, will go this way for an official statement that will be ready to enlarge in 2030, I think the countries in the region would say the same. Now, there is two problems. One is Serbia. Serbia still, I think, is not sure where to go. Yes, everybody would say to you that EU is the way to go, but in real life, because of low level of confidence to Brussels, they are working with Russia, they're working with China, they're working with Turkey. Arab countries are there with investments. So this should not be underestimated.
If Serbia rather went with Russia and China and less with the EU, it would be a negative example, I guess, for the rest of the Balkans.
I could not go into details, but talking many times with President Vucic, he said to me, listen, we would need some sort of guarantee that at the end of the day, Serbia will be a member of EU. We are not sure that this will be the case because of the possibility of blockades, of debt, and so many reasons. So that is why they are not so sure to do whatever it takes to go to on the path to Brussels. And that makes them a target of Russia, mm-hmm. and China and Turkey and Arab countries. And I'm thinking, what should we do to, in a way, inspire Vucic and his government and the people of Serbia to make a risk and go with us? There is not just a low level of confidence among Serbs to EU, but there is also a high level of confidence to Russia that will be protected by Russia. One of the consequences of the war in Ukraine will be a new division in Europe. Will be a democratic West and autocratic East. The key question for the future of stability of EU is where Serbia will be in this division. If Serbia will be on the other side, the whole Western Balkans will be unstable because of Republika Srpska, north of Kosovo, Montenegro, and also Macedonia. So that is why, from strategic point of view, that also huge critics of the regime of Vucic, basically, it is worth to work with him. I know it's not popular among many of my colleagues. They are saying Vucic is autocrat, you know, all that stuff. It's not a democratic state. He's pro-Russian. But do we have another choice if we would like to you know, invite and get Serbia on our side? Now, one last thing. Yesterday, Dodik has, somebody would say once again, but said it officially, in 70 days, they will proclaim some sort of independence of Republika Srpska. If I did read correctly the statement. Even now, when Bosnia is negotiating with EU, Dodik is ready to make problems with within the Bosnia. The reason for such a statement has been the resolution of United Nations at the Security Council of the United Nations on Srebrenica. But listen, was genocide. Everybody is recognizing that was a genocide there 29 years ago. It is not true what Vucic is claiming, that the message of the resolution is punishing the whole Serbian nation. That is not true. But the majority of people are of this opinion. So the emotions are back in the air, you know. So, led me to the end, which is not very nice about the moment. It's not tragic yet, but could be if we would not go there and have a clear vision how to put this mess in order.
Let's have a look at Georgia. Because Georgia, for a lot of people in Western Europe, seems to be a deja vu, which could be compared with the Ukraine. There's a massive influence of Russia. What is your take on that?
When the Council a year ago or so, even more, has made that important decision that Ukraine will get a status, and Moldova got the status of candidate country for EU, I've been a little bit surprised that Georgia has not been there. Was quite a signal to Russia that, okay, this is your sphere of influence. Maybe I don't know all. I don't know all the reasons why the Council has decided so, but basically the message has been sent. Georgia, you are on the other side. Russia, it's your job to take care about it. And I think speaking but to sorry, the people.
But in the meantime, Georgia is officially a candidate, isn't it?
Yeah, at that time. At the beginning was Ukraine and Moldova. I think then the council has made another decision, but I think some damage has been made. And there is some sort of question in the air. What is the real, you know, political will of EU to do with Georgia? It seems like people on the street are very keen to express pro-European sentiments. You would not see such a thing in Serbia, for example. So I think we should do whatever it takes to maintain excellent support to pro-European forces in Georgia and to you know, push back the influence of Russia there.
But you don't see any parallels in terms of we had quite a situation like that in Ukraine as well.
If Putin will declare some sort of win in a victory in Ukraine, if there will be, you know, facts speaking in favor of such a definition of victory, then I think he will go to other countries. We should take care about Moldova and Georgia. I don't know if we are capable to do as far as our friends there are expecting, but once again, if Putin would proclaim victory in Ukraine, we'll go after two countries. That is, and probably will do something maybe in Western Balkans. He's making his sphere of influence, no doubt about it. He basically now implementing his vision of big and strong Russia, which should be respected in global politics.
So you have met Putin for several times.
Several times.
Nine or 10 times even.
Yes.
So you know him quite well. Basically, what you're saying is, as far as you understand, when the pressure is on, then he will react, or he even will go ahead and attack other countries.
Yeah, I think we underestimated the events back in 2014. We thought, okay, Crimea, okay, because of several historical moments and circumstances, wasn't nice. We still consider Ukraine, Crimea as part of Ukraine formally, but you've seen we continued to maintain relations with Moscow. And then I think after the disaster in Afghanistan, I think back in Moscow, they have come to conclusion that maybe, just maybe, United States are weak, Europe is not prepared, there will be no consensus on, you know, supporting Ukraine. That was his mistake. The consensus has been there. And I think he's still surprised that consensus is still there. The second mistake he made was the assumption that Zelensky would, go out of the country. Zelensky stayed there, and that was a game changer at the time. But because of the extreme, force of Russia, Russia is still in Ukraine. Nevertheless, we supported Ukraine so strongly. And it is the fact that if we would not continue to support Ukraine, Ukraine will face a very, very difficult moment.
Do you think that the European Union and the NATO is doing enough to support Ukraine, or what would you advise on that?
Still, I am positively surprised that, this consensus now have been lasted for 2 years and it's still there. But being realistic, in future, this could be challenged. Not to mention Trump, and if Trump would be as the president in White House, well, he's already, said that according to him, would be possible in 24 hours to make a deal with Russia. We can just, speculate what kind of a peace would be, but would not be a just peace. So let me finish by saying this. It is to Ukrainian government and Ukrainian president to call when would be the right time to make the peace with Russia. For time being, as far as know Zelensky and the Ukrainians, they would like to continue to fight. The question is, what could be changed on the ground? Russians are strong now with this support of the conflict in Middle East, when the attention of the West is now split to Ukraine and to Middle East. This is huge for them. It was a gift from heaven. So I think Putin will go on. And for him, definition of victory would be to make Ukraine a frozen conflict.